Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two. We're coming to you live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. On this Tuesday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Big week coming up. Big week this week with Easter and Passover. Next week, Tiki and I are down in Nashville, which will be cool.
I haven't been since it's gotten cool.
Neither have I.
I went when I was in college, I think, right after I graduated college. I went to Nashville, but I haven't been there in a long time.
No, same here. Last time I was in the last time I was in the state of Tennessee was when I proposed to Jen. So this would have been 09. And we actually drove her car, you know, she's relocating from Dallas. So we drove her car from Dallas to Hoboken, which is where we were living. And we stopped in a few different spots and had some fun. And we stayed in Tennessee. But it's kind of described as, like I said, the Austin. Like, it's almost like Austin, Texas a little bit. Looking forward to it.
A lot of
good music scene, right?
Good music scene. A lot of bachelor parties go there now.
All right,
bachelor,
you hook up with one?
Bachelorette parties, et cetera.
We'll go incognito. We'll go in disguise. Well, I don't have to. Nobody knows me. You're going to have to go in disguise. Hey, can I join your bachelor party? I haven't been to one in a long time. And the worst part about that, and if my wife's watching, she's probably like, you're an idiot. I know, honey. The two of my buddies, two of my really close friends, the only good friends who aren't married, will never get married. So I have no prospects of a bachelor party.
But they're terminal bachelors?
They might be. As a matter of fact, one is for sure.
No, I was gonna. Never mind.
Hey, listen, I don't give a damn if the marriage lasts 2 hours. Just throw a bachelor party.
I hear you.
I mean, even if you fake the wedding.
But didn't we think Samther would be a terminal bachelor?
Oh, you know what? That's different. We'll be at Samther's shindig, but it's gonna be different because we don't know any of his buddies. Yeah, I'm talking about where it's like. And by the way, first of all, not that I would do anything, but what can he? Even if you wanted to do something, get like a little rambunctious. And I don't mean. Ridiculously out of the lines, rambunctious,
but have a couple beverages.
Well, I mean, more than that. I mean, you can have a couple beverages on your porch.
By couple, I mean like eight.
You can still do that. I'm talking about, I mean, you can enjoy the bachelor. You don't have to just drink. You can actually enjoy the bachelor party. But the problem is, like, you can't even eat. Let's say Samther has his bachelor party
in Nashville.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, he does a little something local, right?
Okay.
With some of his New York buddies, and he has it at the Hustler Club on the Upper West Side.
Oh, I couldn't go.
We can't go.
No.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, could we go? Sure, we could go, but that's not the message that I would ever want to project as a married man.
Agreed.
And, you know, not that I'm doing anything, it just doesn't look good.
I hear
you. It's not fair to our wife. It doesn't look good. There's one picture, again, not of me, but of you, because, you know, I can see page six. Oh, look, Tiki's at the strip club. He's just sitting there. You're not even doing anything.
You're right. It doesn't
misinterpreted.
Matter, doesn't matter.
Nobody cares about the details. So, Samther, find somewhere very obscure, and we can have a real bachelor party. Then we can do it. I'm just kidding. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, this was a stunner. LSU men's head coach Will Wade, been suspended since March.
Shocking.
He's back.
I know.
What? So after reports came to light that Wade was caught on the wiretap by the FBI discussing an offer for a recruit with Christian Dawkins. Now, you'll remember Dawkins, the former middleman in the college basketball scene who will be serving jail time now for his involvement in the college hoops corruption scandal. However, Wade was reinstated by LSU on Sunday night after Wade met with the university and the NCAA and their officials. LSU cleared Wade of all allegations in their official statement. Quote, Wade answered all questions, denied any wrongdoing in connection with recently reported allegations of irregularities in college basketball recruiting. End quote. Inbounds or out of bounds? We shouldn't feel comfortable reinstating Will Wade until the FBI publicly clears him of all wrongdoing.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this, BT, only because I'm just reading between the lines. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons that Will Wade refused to discuss this with LSU the first time is because he was about to be called to testify in that FBI probe, and his lawyer was probably advising him, don't talk. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Because you're under subpoena or whatever it may be. You can't give it away to anyone. Even though I'm just trying to like maybe give him the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks ugly, but I'm going to say out of bounds to this one. It's a dicey one. It's a hairy one.
Which is why I say in bounds. It's a little bit too dicey for my taste here. Again, you know, you listen to our show. We've talked for years about how filthy it is. And how, you know, I know there's a few outliers, and I honestly believe in my heart that Tiki's Virginia Cavs, one of them, the champions here, of course. I think that every program cheats, and you know, there's overt ways of cheating, there's ways of narrowly circumventing rules where the lines of what's right and what's wrong are blurred enough where maybe you could kind of get away with it. I'm not saying everybody's out there throwing $300,000 bags of money on somebody's doorstep and starting up, you know, fake companies for their mom or their dad to get them to go to a school. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that every program, there's an element of dirtiness.
Mm-hmm.
But when the FBI is involved, I mean, do we really believe that Will Wade didn't do anything wrong at all? Like, he had zero... Like, Will Wade was just completely framed.
I don't think he was framed.
What are we supposed to believe here?
They cleared him, so... And that's all you can ask for.
I know. And everything about our legal system says that you should adhere to that verdict, if you will, and respect that. I get that. But he went from being in the middle of an FBI operation and being suspended by the school.
But only suspended. But only suspended because he wouldn't talk to them.
I understand that.
And I think he didn't talk to them because he was under subpoena.
I'm going to take the easy way out. I hear you. Yeah. It's just a little too nebulous for me to stamp this, you know, with gung-ho approval. I'm going to say inbounds. I get it. I get it. But I'm going to disagree a little bit. That's a tough one.
Are you in or are you out?
That's a tough one. That really is a tough one right there. All right, Teak, the reigning world champs and American League MVP both off to slow starts this year. The Red Sox are 6-11, and Mookie Betts hitting .222. He's got 6 extra base hits, that's all, after hitting .84 a year ago. So, in a post-game chat with the media after last night's loss to the Orioles, Mookie took the brunt of the blame on his shoulders.
There's been many times where I can kind of, you know, help score some runs or do something, and you know, I haven't done it, so I take full ownership of that. Basically, what I'm doing is unacceptable. I have to figure out a way to get something done and help the team. Find a way to get some hits and get on base. I mean, I'm not really doing anything well right now, and you know, it sucks.
That's what leaders do. I mean, you got to love that accountability right there by a great player. Inbounds, out of bounds. Once Mookie figures it out, and we all know he will, the Red Sox will start accumulating wins.
I'm going to say inbounds of this. I know there's other issues with their pitching staff, particularly Chris Sale, but Alex Cora has been mixing up his lineups at the top over the last few games, whether it was Benintendi leading off or Dustin Pedroia, who just came back this year. Betts has been moving up from 2 to 3 in the order just to find ways to break him out of the slump and get him on base. But when you look around him, you know, J.D. Martinez, he's still crushing it. He's hitting .344. Mitch Moreland's got 12 RBIs already. Xander Bogaerts hitting .304. Mm-hmm. Jackie Bradley's outfield mate is even worse than he is. But I think one of the key things with Mookie is getting on base. And creating RBI opportunities for those hammers that are coming behind them. And that's just not happening with any consistency. Yep. So I'm going to say inbounds here.
I'm going to say out of bounds. And, you know, obviously it would certainly tilt them in the right direction to start cranking out some wins. Mookie goes on a hot streak, which is going to come anytime soon. Hopefully not against our Yankees, but it's going to come soon.
which is tonight.
He's too great not to. But their run different. Listen, even if Mookie Betts was hitting .325 right now with 7 home runs and 9 stolen bases or 6 steals, right, and an OPS of 1,000 or almost 1,000, the run differential is -32.
That's bad.
Don't tell me that's all Mookie Betts. That's just not the case. I mean, you referenced their start there, Chris Sale. Their entire staff, their ERA is 5.93. Yikes. Devers has been bad. You know, Bradley's been bad as well. I'm going to say out of bounds, but obviously it would certainly help. But, I think there's a lot of issues with it. They're not really catching the baseball either.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, after more than 2 months since the Super Bowl, we finally heard from Todd Gurley and how his knee's feeling right now. Gurley told the ESPN yesterday, quote, "It's feeling pretty good, taking it day by day," end quote. Last month, it was reported that Gurley was contemplating stem cell treatment on his knee if it didn't improve. Then Gurley found out he had arthritis in his left knee, which is not good.
No.
Last season, 256 rushes, 59 receptions, 315 total touches in 14 games. In or out? The Rams need to limit Gurley's touches to no more than 225 next season.
I'm
going to
say out of bounds, BT, because he's their catalyst. Their offense moves, and Jared Goff plays better when he's involved and being dynamic and a difference maker as he's been since he was in college. When healthy, of course. This is a tough one because you want to preserve him for as long as possible, especially considering they extended his contract before his fifth-year option last year. But because they extended his contract before his fifth-year option, it's actually a team-friendly contract.
Stretch it out.
I hate to say this, but you got to use him up while you while you can. It's how it works for running backs. It's unfair and it sucks.
Yep.
But it's just the reality of it.
You know, it's so funny that you frame it that way because I was going to use the word callous. I don't want to come across as callous or insensitive here, but you got to run them into the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the sheer business aspect
that's the only
of it
way
at
they
this
win.
Point. Yep. And, you know, you certainly would love to see him regenerate physically and then be able to, you know, take those rigors and, you know, beat Todd Gurley. But if you run him into the ground and he even regresses further physically, he might retire, which kind of might offset some money for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's an easy way out. I mean, I'm happy he got some money because I don't know that he's long for the NFL, but I agree, Teak. You got to run him. I mean, that's just the way it is with running backs.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, this first at bat at Dodger Stadium is being traded this offseason. Yasiel Puig hit a two-run homer off Clayton Kershaw. Touched on this yesterday. He's back.
Yep.
The southpaw went seven innings, pitched pretty well, six whiffs and a walk. It was Puig's second of the season. Only his eighth hit so far, though, in 2019. Puig has been hitting third in the offensively challenged Reds lineup. This is, 24th in runs scored. So
yeah,
they brought some players in. Matt Kemp as well. They just really haven't done much. In or out, Puig went from one of the young rising stars in the game with the Dodgers to an afterthought with the Reds.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, only because you see how Reds fans in the Great American Ballpark react to him. They love him. They love his energy. And
all 9,000 of them?
Yeah, but whatever. Like he's exciting. He gives them an edge that they haven't had in a long time. So maybe nationally, I'm going to say out of bounds this. Maybe nationally irrelevant, but I think locally he could be something big in Cincinnati.
Oh, boy. Listen, you're only going to provide a spark. You know, he's still new. Remember that. This is early in the romance.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's happy those first couple of dates. Then you have to make a decision. Am I sticking or am I bouncing? And if he's hitting 191 in a couple of months, Red fans, they'll make their decision. They'll bounce. You got to produce. He's 28 years of age fast. And I don't say this flippantly, but he is of Cuban descent. Mm-hmm. We don't really know if he's 28.
Yeah,
we know the history with the Cuban players, the defectors. There's a large faction of them where the birth certificates have been doctored. I don't know if he's 28. I don't know that. What I do know, so I say inbounds. He is no longer an ascending player. He is who he is. He's regressed. Not saying he can't have the occasional good season. And I like him. He's good for the game. But I say inbounds. Quickly on Kershaw, though, one thing that I wanted to make sure I got this out, and I could do it here. He hit 91 in the first inning, his four-seam fastball, hit 91. In the fourth inning, he topped out at 90. In the seventh inning, his four-seamer hit 89. So his fastball, he throws a four-seamer primarily, only hit, 89. Now he's got to build up his arm. I get that.
Yeah.
And he pitched well. Five hits, two earned runs, six walks, six strikeouts, and the one walk. 57 of the 84 pitches were strikes.
Yes.
But that velocity is a little alarming.
But is it mitigated? Just to lobby back at you briefly.
Yeah.
Because his curveball was clocked to 74, and it was nasty.
So it's funny. Listen, I'd have to look at fan graphs. I believe his curveball has always hovered in that vicinity.
Yeah.
What he might want to do then is dial it down to 72. Because, you've learned this. Yeah. Admittedly, Teak didn't know a ton about baseball, and I know you'll appreciate what I'm going to throw back at you before we break here, get to Russell Wilson. It's all about disparity. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, you'd love to throw 1,000 miles per hour, but if you throw 91 and then your secondary and your third stuff is 80 or 81 or 79, the variance is what makes it hard to hit. Yeah. If you're 91 and your slider's 87 and your curveball's 79 or 78, there's not enough of a gap. If his fastball is going to be at 90, and it might be for the rest of his career, he might want to dial down that curveball the ticker too, and that would actually create some more variance.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, well, sometime in between dancing in the sheets, Russell Wilson was kind enough to enlighten us that he got a lot of money. We'll get into that. I mean, obviously, the way he delivered, I mean, you either love it or you think it's a little bit off color, a little bit corny. We think it's a little bit corny for sure. But there's no doubting that we believe that he's worth the money. Not everybody agrees with that. Mm-hmm. We do. We'll talk Russell Wilson coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney back here on a Tuesday across the country, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 206. Just about all NBA first hour really went heavy on the Durant stuff, blowing and choking on a 31-point lead. Patrick Beverley, that tenacious pit bull who he would be my worst nightmare on a basketball court. I wouldn't even be able to get an open jump shot off. Yeah. I would not be able to get an inch of space on
whether
that guy. On any of these guys, actually.
Physically or mentally.
And both.
He's got you.
Both. You win, Beverly. If you shut down Durant, then reducing him to a puddle, then who knows what he would do to the rest of his mere mortals, make us invisible. But that was really alarming. So we touched on that. Obviously, Russell Wilson, the secondary story, or for some, the primary. And let's get to some of this now. The way it was introduced, all right, you're going to judge some. I'm sure some love it. I'm sure some think it's atrocious. Some think it's whatever. We just think it's corny and unnecessary, though we understand how athletes operate today. Listen, this is on Instagram, and he's laying in bed, and he's with his girl. And this is how the entire world found out that Russell Wilson's staying with Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
I don't even know how to react to that, man.
What is this? What the hell's wrong with this world?
You need some Teddy Pendergrass laid underneath that. Seriously. Got my Quiet Storm voice on.
Yeah, I know.
A little scraggly.
Got five gold chains on all of a sudden,
from
too.
Hard work. I think they're silver.
They might be so. I think, yeah, you know what?
Platinum.
They are. Yeah, they're probably. Now they're platinum, that's guy. For sure.
Platinum quarterback.
Hey,
yeah, look, this was corny.
What's going on?
It was odd.
What is that? What is that?
He's trying to be cool. He's trying to be hip. He's trying to make people like him. Oh, he's in bed with his girl. Oh, man. What do you think they were doing?
His girl's beautiful, and he's the quarterback of Seattle, and he's at a Super Bowl champ. I think the world thinks he's kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
just overkill. It is what it is.
Now, how many times do you think, they sound like they're so exhausted. Now we got to go to bed. We can go. How many times do you think they check their phones and to see as the likes and the comments the GOAT references, the GOAT emojis, which is, everybody's just ridiculous.
I don't know. Have we looked at that detail?
Look
at their Instagram. If that's Instagram or that's
it's Twitter. Instagram.
Yeah, so look at Instagram, see how many likes. I'm gonna guess
Instagram.
I'm gonna guess 50,000.
Nah, definitely more than that.
100,000.
Maybe I'm gonna say close to 1 million.
Really?
Yeah, because now she's involved as well.
That's true. But was it her Instagram or was it his?
She's
Instagram?
There under the covers.
Yeah, but athletes and superstars or music whatever.
Why is he not popping up?
623,000.
Yeah.
623,000.
I just had to get through the LeBron self-congratulatory posts, which took a while. Now here we go. Let's see what else. All right, beautiful family shot. Listen, there is a lot. Russell Wilson doing workouts. Let me show everybody how ripped I am. What's this? Russell Wilson without a shirt on, showing everybody how ripped I am. Russell Wilson playing with his baby daughter, which is beautiful. Listen, Russell Wilson. I remember you and I... We met him in New Orleans after his rookie season. We had him on our show, and this would have been February. Was it February then? Or I think it was still late January of 2013, yep. And we met him. And we were amazed at his poise. We're actually very surprised how yoked he was because we didn't realize he was actually really physically stronger than we thought.
He feels like he feels like he's smaller than he actually is. I remember I think I told you the story at the time, but it's worth repeating because it was 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I went and spoke at his high school.
In
Virginia. And I think he had just transferred or was getting ready to transfer to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about Russell Wilson. He's a great kid. And I'm like, all right, wait, where'd he go to school? And they said NC State. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know of him.
Yeah.
I didn't know about, you know, what his pro prospects were going to be. And then that year in Wisconsin was a great year for him. And then it was in my mind now, okay, this kid had a pretty good year, but he's little. This was before little quarterbacks.
No, we weren't conditioned to accept them yet.
It was Drew Brees, and that's it.
And Doug Flutie, who was a mixed bag.
Yeah, but that's a different
era.
Totally
different.
And so,
but small.
Very quickly, he gets drafted, or very quickly after he gets drafted, and they had signed Matt
Flynn.
Yep. To a
six
big
touchdowns
deal.
He threw as a Packer.
Exactly.
I think it was the last game of the year.
Huge contract they gave him.
Yep.
They draft Russell Wilson, in the latter rounds.
Third round.
And all of a sudden, it was like a week in the training camp.
It was immediate. And you know how I remember this? Because, again, I'm living in San Francisco at the time. And I remember this very well because we were doing something with the Niners. And my old partner, Eric Davis, the quarterback for the 49ers, you know, they played for Carolina as well. But we were doing something specifically on Seattle. And it was just about a week into camp.
Yep.
And whomever we had on from Seattle, and I forget who it was, a former player, it may have been Steve Largent, actually, now that I think about it. And we got an early indication, Russell Wilson, job says. Before it was even announced from
Pete
Carroll, Russell Wilson looks great.
You're right. And I remember hearing it, thinking at that time, that kid?
Yep.
That kid from that private school in Virginia? That's who's going to win the starting quarterback job.
He's won a whole lot.
And then he won a Super Bowl, and the lore and the legend has only grown because he's a great guy, obviously. He's got, you know, the right mindset for an athlete in a leadership position. Meaning he is the brand of the Seattle Seahawks. When you think about football teams, you always think about the quarterback, right? It just is what it is. I mean, sometimes, you know, a great skill position player like Odell Beckham Jr., whoever, can kind of take the mantle a little bit, but it's usually the quarterback. He's the perfect face for a franchise.
Yep.
And so when you look at this deal and people will put, you know, a lot of emphasis on the numbers don't matter. I mean, when a guy is a Super Bowl winning star in a place that he's been for a while, it's always going to be the highest, you know, the average best salary, the most guaranteed money. It only goes up, especially for quarterbacks, but it couldn't go to a more deserved person. And for those who were thinking, well, Russell Wilson, you know, might be better off going to New York, and the Seattle Seahawks, you know, they got to rebuild and they got to get, you know, they can't build with a superstar quarterback making $30+ million a year. Okay, but the alternative is much worse. So
Tavares Jackson.
Exactly.
Hasselbeck was good there, obviously, for a couple of years, more than a couple with Seattle. Hasselbeck was good. Although, didn't he guarantee, remember he threw the pick six in overtime, and he guaranteed we're going to win it when he got the coin. Was that a playoff game?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was a playoff game. But he put up big numbers there. I mean, they were pretty prolific when he was there.
We'll take the ball,
and then he throws a pick six,
and
he's talking smack. But the thing about Russell is, you know, he's a proven winner, which obviously is paramount when you bestow that kind of power financially and organizationally on somebody. He is a consistent personality. His demeanor doesn't fluctuate.
Agreed.
He's stable and he's low maintenance. And he's a fan favorite. So every column is checked positively for a great young player. But I just got to hear this again. Let's hear the announcement once more. Let me hear this.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
That's the best part.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Gotta get gangsta now.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
Oh, she sounds happy.
See y'all in the morning.
Well, she doesn't have to work anymore.
Mama sure sounds happy. That's true. She's got her own wealth. Don't forget that.
Of course.
Now, I know you know that. Listen, I sometimes try to put myself in the shoes of somebody who's in their 20s.
Are they the biggest power couple now?
Nah, Jay-Z and Beyonce. What are you, nuts?
I mean, even though they're I'm talking about athletes.
Athletes.
I guess Tom is still Tom and Giselle.
Yeah, Giselle.
You forget Giselle.
Tom and Giselle.
A billion people in Brazil, and she owns them. So
yeah, yeah. My brain's. I'm trying to.
A-Rod and J-Lo don't even compare. Not even close.
Yeah, A-Rod. You got to still play to have a little. You got a little
good try, but no.
No, that's a good call, though. I'm happy you bring that
to the
table.
It's an interesting one, but no.
How beautiful is their baby going to be if they elect to have kids? A-Rod and J-Lo?
I mean, she's... I think she's
50.
50.
Well, that's true.
Plus,
so I don't know. I think she just turned 50. I don't know if she wants to. But can you imagine if they ever procreate? Their child will be absolutely stunning.
Well, so was Russell Wilson's.
No, I agree. But I think A-Rod and J-Lo's child might be a little bit better looking.
All right, do a poll.
That's only because I think J-Lo, I prefer J-Lo over Ciara.
Do a poll.
And it's close. Do a poll.
Just kidding.
Do a poll. I try to put myself, we'll get a break here, but I try to put myself in the shoes of the younger athlete now, and I know that I'm all over social media now. I'm not like that, but I wouldn't do that. Even if I was 25 or it's unnecessary.
Guys like to have their shirts off these days.
Oh, no, I would do that. I would be showing off the pecs all day, the abs, yeah. It's about my wife, you know, laying in bed. It's not a bad thing. It's just corny. That's the word I keep going back to. Boutique. It's corny. It's a corny play. But he's great. Deserves every penny. All right. Solomon Wilcots is in studio. Talk some draft coming up. Looking forward to this. He's going to join us next right here on Tiki and Tierney After Axe Update, which is right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, let's do a little draft here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. But first up, time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Take a look at somebody who got it done. And this week, it's Chris Davis, who is crushing it for the A's. Chris with a K, just bombing it. This past week, the A's slugger, 6 home runs, drove in 10 runs. Davis leads the majors. He's got 10 homers on the season, 4th in ribbies with 20. I mean, you project, there's no way he's going to actually do this, but you project that. I mean, he's on pace. He might hit 50 bombs this year. Davis's bat has helped the A's win 4 of their last 5, a team who always seems to scrap together a good team without any sort of a payroll. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Go to Granger.com. Okay, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome into our studio longtime CBS colleague, 16 distinguished years at CBS, doing his thing now for Sky Sports, former safety in the NFL, Solomon Wilcots. What up, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. It's great to be on with you guys, so thanks for having me.
Nice to have you.
One of the smoothest brothers in the business.
Still pretty yoked, by the way. Those shoulders are pretty imposing, man. Not as imposing as these shoulders.
Gotta take care of yourself, right?
Now, you came in the late 80s. We were just talking about it.
That's
the strike
right.
year. What did you play at?
I came in as a corner, so I played at 190.
Okay.
And then Dick LeBeau, he saw me tackle everything.
LeBeau.
He was like, oh, you know, you need to start learning that safety position. And, you know, back then, particularly if you're an 8th round pick, you better learn to play more than one position, right?
Well, you can do,
so I
right?
played corner, I played safety, and next thing you know, he's playing me everywhere in that secondary. So it was a lot of fun. Playing for him, of course, was great. It was great.
No, he's one of the innovators in football, obviously,
right.
of longtime Steelers fame. You know, the football has evolved so many times since then, and DBs are bigger. Even though my brother played forever, he was tiny. You know what I mean? You try to match what's happening on the wide receiver side. But also, I think the biggest thing that we've noticed, and I'm sure you've talked about this a lot, is contact is really gone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Especially for your position.
Absolutely.
You used to be a threatening player.
You had to be.
You had to be, right?
That's right.
Man, where's Toby Wright at? You know, right?
Exactly, right?
Where's Williams at? You know, you got to notice those guys.
That's right.
It's not that way anymore.
And, you know, your brother, speaking of Rondé, I think he is one of those players that really transcended the period of time he played in and was able to play in pretty much the way that we play the game now, where teams throw the ball more than they run it.
Yep.
And when he first came in the league, they were running it more. But he was so good because he had a high football IQ. But remember, he could play man, and he could also play the zone coverages that Tony Dungy and those guys.
And rush the quarterback.
He could rush the quarterback. He could do everything. So when you can do those things, when you're a versatile player, you can play in any era. Anywhere at any time. And yeah. I think he was one of those players.
By the way, Solomon just mentioned Tony Dungy. Tony's going to be in studio here on TV Theory tomorrow, which will be really sweet. Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the offseason happenings. Throw some draft stuff at you as well here. We all know the Browns loaded up. The cupboards are stacked. They've got a lot of talent. The next step is generally the toughest, and that is finding cohesion and balance and, you know, guys really pulling the rope in the same direction. Do you think it works? Are you fully buying the Browns as a legitimate Super Bowl threat this year?
I think they are a threat. I'm going to stop short of the Super Bowl. I will say they're a threat to win the division, go into the playoffs. We'll see what they do when they get there. You and I both know the postseason, the playoffs is different than regular season. In regular season, there's great intensity in the games, but in the postseason, the intensity goes up a notch or two. And I do believe they are a young team who has to learn to play together. They're going to have to learn to weather the storm of adversity. We know they have players that tend to go their own way. Let's see if they can stick together. If they can stick together and hold tight and when adverse moments hit, if they can hang in there and stick through it, I think they can be a real dangerous team.
Okay, I agree with you. But now you look at the roster, and when they elevated Freddie Kitchens, OBJ wasn't on the roster, so it's a totally different dynamic. Do you think – I'm not saying Freddie Kitchens can't get the job done.
Have fun in that locker room.
No kidding, right? I'm not saying he can't get the job done, but you are dropping a lot of the first-year head coach's doorstep. Is Freddie Kitchens the right guy?
I think he's the right guy because he's the right guy for Baker Mayfield. You know, we can talk about all the quarterbacks who are coming out in this year's draft. You show me the quarterback who the coach is going to tailor the system to fit what he has done, to fit what he's most comfortable doing. And I'll tell you, that's the guy who's going to be successful. He's going to have some semblance of success. And Freddie Kitchens, it didn't take him long to figure that out, right? Hugh Jackson was trying to fit that square peg into the round hole. Didn't work. And as soon as Freddie Kitchens took over, he said, I know what you can do. I'm going to let you do what you do. And then go have at it. And you can see the guy's having fun. And he's making plays.
We were talking right before you came on air about the Russell Wilson contract. It's the right move. I mean, especially when you consider the division. I mean, it's all quarterbacks.
No brainer.
It's all quarterbacks in that division. I mean, and when you look at Russell compared to, I don't know, some of these other guys who we think are prototypical, he doesn't fit the mold. But he's the perfect brand for Seattle, right? They couldn't let him go.
There is no doubt. For one, you're talking about football IQ. I mean, he walked in the door having learned the offense, and then that way he can be a leader in the huddle.
Yeah.
When you know more about the plays that are called than the other 10 guys in the huddle, they have to come to you. They have to look to you. He can make all the adjustments. Right now, I would say it's probably only two quarterbacks playing better right now than Russell Wilson. One's Tom Brady. The other is Patrick Mahomes. Other than that, when you talk about the fact that he represents a large portion in terms of the percentage of offense and he's a born leader, I don't know. Those are the only two guys I can say emphatically that's playing better.
I can't say emphatically that Tom Brady's playing better than Russell Wilson. I can't say that.
Well, the rings kind of like, right. If you were to put that on the scale, it says clink. Clink, right?
So you're going in totality. I'm going, you know, 35 touchdowns, seven picks, not a whole lot of, not a great offensive line.
Let me ask you,
Russell Wilson is a
look.
Beast.
The deal is huge. Do you think it? I mean, it doesn't guarantee obviously any wins or losses or anything, but the division could get tougher, especially when you look at San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo, and who knows what's happening in Arizona. But the division's tough.
That's a good division. I think San Francisco will be better. I think they'll solidify what they're doing at the quarterback position. They made it tough on some teams at the end of the year. I think they'll be better. But Arizona's the team. I don't know which way they're going.
Yeah. Sure you do. Kyler Murray. Sure you do.
And then we'll have to see how they – will they be competitive. But you know Seattle is going to be there, and you know the Rams are going to be there. And so – I like the way this division is going, and it does start with the quarterbacks.
Yeah. Now, let me since we hit San Francisco, let me stay there for a second because that's what you're here to talk to us about. Tevin Coleman, who's a running back they just picked up, has sickle cell disease. And you're here doing a campaign with MAAS, Life Sciences, and Dr. Minetti is on the phone with us. One of the questions I have for you, Dr. Minetti, sorry to introduce you this way, but football and sickle cell seem to be at odds, right? Because of the sickle nature of blood cells and the injuries that could happen. How do football players, and there's been a couple, Ryan Clark was one as well.
The McCourty twins.
How do they get away with playing this vicious game with this disease?
Well, thank you, by the way, for inviting me to speak about sickle cell. Everybody that knows me knows how passionate I am about sickle cell. This gives me a great opportunity to give some prevalence to this very important disease that disproportionately affects African Americans in the United States. Now, for football players, the problem really has been mostly the sickle cell trait, and you are very well aware of the necessity to test football players for sickle cell disease because they can be carriers. As you know, 1 in 8, actually, African Americans is a carrier for the disease, and 1 in 365 African American is born with the actual disease, not just as a carrier of the disease. Now, because the sickle cell disease is an inherited disorder, which means people are born with, which causes an abnormality in the hemoglobin, which is the substance inside the red cells that carries oxygen. And the oxygen has to go everywhere in the blood. And when the oxygen delivery is diminished because of the altered shape of the red cells, you can imagine that there is decreased oxygen everywhere in the blood. So this is a big problem that causes a myriad of complications in patients with sickle cell disease, starting from infancy. In fact, they start having problems around 1 year of age. And these problems consist both in pain and alteration in the organs. So the internal organs suffer from the lack of oxygen that they experience. So a sport like football that requires high burst of energies under very intense physical condition, usually very much high heat, dehydration will exacerbate the symptoms of sickle cell disease and even cause symptoms in patients that have only the trait.
Yeah, no, I mean, okay. It makes sense. And Solomon, I know you're doing the sideline sickle cell campaign.
That's right.
What is this involving?
Well, it's sideline sickle cell. We're working with Emmaus Life Science, and that is really to raise awareness for sickle cell disease and talk about current and future therapies. We're just really trying to be as active as we can in highlighting the disease, as you mentioned. It plagues a lot of Americans, a lot of minorities.
Right. And it's often gotten sidelined because there's so many other things that people focus
that's
on.
That's right. People focus on. But this is still a threat. And imagine you played professionally, but imagine you're trying to participate as an athlete and your cells don't allow your body to carry oxygen to those organs. It can be very painful, and it can be lead to organ and tissue damage. And so we want to make sure that we highlight this disease, and so I'm working with Emmaus Life Science to do so.
That's a great job bringing some much-needed light to this. That's Solomon Wilcots, of course, 16 years with CBS. Great job for us for all those years. He's with Sky Sports now. He's an NFL analyst, played in the league, of course, played safety. And thanks again to Dr. Katerina Minetti on the medical aspect of that. As we take it back to football here, a couple of minutes, not a ton. We kind of laughed and we said Kyler Murray to the Cardinals here.
Yeah.
But where's Josh Rosen going to go? Huh? I mean, the Giants need a quarterback. There's a couple of teams with age. You know, the Pats have been rumored. Maybe they make a play. What's the best fit for Josh Rosen,
I think really the best fit would be to go to the Patriots, where you can learn under Tom Brady. He's a pocket stationary passing quarterback. He's not a move guy, right? Nope. But he is highly cerebral. And I do believe if you're going to groom the successor for Tom Brady, then you got to have him now, right? Yeah, while you still have time for, another 1, 2, maybe 3 years?
Yeah.
Now, 3 years. Yeah, there's no way he's playing 3 more.
You
stop.
Never know. He's defied logic,
but Solomon,
so far.
Isn't that so against the logic of what you do with young quarterbacks? We want to, throw them into the fire so
yes,
quickly.
Yes, you do,
Dave.
Except for when you already have that guy. But the guy that you want to groom behind Tom Brady, you want him on a rookie deal. You want him on a rookie deal.
That's true.
Because you don't want to be paying that guy a ton of money.
That's true.
That other player, whoever that other player is behind Tom Brady,
has
to be on a rookie deal in order for it to work with your salary.
Solomon, we got to do this again, man.
Yeah, we definitely do. We need to get you back on.
Just to give you a plug
sure.
on this website, for those who are listening to Dr. Minetti, it's at Emmaus Life Sci. That's EMAUS Life SCI. That's the social media handle. And then the website is www.emaauslifesciences.com. Sportsnet.com for the Sideline Sickle Cell Campaign. I appreciate you, Solomon.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thanks well, for having me. Okay?
And I meant what I said, man. Seriously, you know, almost two decades with CBS. And this goes back to way before I even worked with CBS and watching all the games on, you know, the AFC games. Mm-hmm. And I really thought you carried that logo with great pride.
I thought I really appreciate it.
You projected
I enjoyed
great
my
stuff.
Years, and I have Sean McManus to thank for that. He's always been great
He's
to
terrific.
Me, and we appreciate him greatly.
All right, you're welcome appreciate back. You passed the test, Sal. We'll have you back.
Oh, I knew he was going to pass the test.
I had to make sure he passed my test.
I mean.
I know, that's right.
All right, taking it to the third hour. Coming up, losing game two. Shouldn't sound off the alarms for the Warriors, but it has because we're a reactive society. What a stunner. We'll get back to that slop choking on a 31-point lead. Wow, Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.